As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Well, just another, few days in the National Hockey League. We'll be getting closer. Leon Draisaitl and the Oilers with a huge win, massive win against the Vegas Golden Knights. Still, nobody really wants the WC2 in the Eastern Conference. We're getting closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs just around the corner. Welcome back. Lots to be decided, though, still, especially in that Eastern Conference. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, Pucks in 7. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of April. We're not fooling you.
Oh, boy. We
may have fooled you yesterday. No? Okay.
Under a minute. Fantastic. And I knew something was coming up. I didn't want to do one yesterday just because April Fool's Day, whether you're working in a newsroom or a sports room, it's just you can never just day of chaos. So let's move on. It's April the 2nd. We've got a couple of weeks left.
Makes sense before
the playoffs launch. We're getting Ryan, it's like 2 weeks.
I know.
It's not a month or so.
It is. I believe I'm correct in that the season ends the 17th, which I believe is a Thursday, and so I would assume that they start on the Saturday, which would be the 19th of April. I assume
that sounds about right. Yes.
Okay. So we're
closing in quickly.
We're very close. Still lots to be decided in the East. We'll get into the Eastern Conference in a sec. We'll talk again about Ovi. You're going to a huge game tonight too, involving points wise in the Atlantic between the Panthers and the Leafs in Toronto. Brent Wallace, co-host of the podcast Coming in Hot Sens with Jason York. He'll join us later on and we will dive into all things Sens. Unless they have a complete collapse, they're making the postseason. It's just that second wildcard spot, which we still don't know about. And we'll go 77 seconds in with Brent as well. Let's begin though, Vic, with the West. We'll talk Leon, we'll talk Dallas and Vegas, and we'll have a huge debate on who's going to win the Vezina Trophy. This thing will take probably half an hour, I think, to decide between the, I'm kidding. Anyway.
But we are going to bring up, I want to also talk about who else should be nominated because it is a one-horse race.
No,
okay. But who else should be considered because there's going to be three names lobbied in a few weeks from now. Yeah. So there's still some discussion.
There should be five. I still think
I
the list on everyone
that.
Should be five. I really do. Speaking of the Jets, Connor Hellebuck, probably. He's going to win this. But let's talk about the Jets in a bit of a different way. And you want to bring up this that about the other night when they lost. There was a question that was posed to Scott O'Neill, the head coach, and he had a pretty interesting answer.
So a reporter approaches him, and again, this was their first loss after a while.
Yeah.
And the reporter asked Scott O'Neill, because this was against the Kings.
Hold on. You're playing well when you just said this is their first loss after a while.
Right.
I think that's great. Go on.
They've been running they've been the most consistent team all season along with the Washington Capitals in the NHL. I don't think there's any question of that.
No.
There haven't been the big ups and downs, right, for them. And they continue to win and they are top of the West and it isn't really particularly close. Yet still, they played the Kings and they lost a tight one to the Kings. And a reporter, I do not know who and it doesn't matter, asked Scott O'Neill, the head coach, after the game, do you view this game as a measuring stick of sorts?
Yeah.
Scott O'Neill is a pretty pleasant fella. And he didn't blow his top or anything like that. Not even close.
No.
But he just kindly but tightly pointed out we're the measuring stick, basically. We're the best team.
Yeah.
So I think this just goes to speak. I don't even really mind the question that much. It could have been phrased a little bit differently. It just still goes to speak to how they're not garnering the respect that the Jets I'm talking about, despite having just a banger of the season. They're not garnering the respect yet, and they will not, Ryan Payton, until they win in the playoffs. They won't.
No, you're right. And I think in part of it is as well, when you're this good from the onset of a season, you're kind of lost in translation a bit. And what that means is you're constantly being chased. So the respect factor is more so, hey, can Dallas actually catch them?
Mm-hmm.
You give them a bit more respect, or all the other storylines going on. This team, yeah, they lost 4-1 to LA. Who cares? Like, it really, it's no big deal to them. And there's no measuring stick whatsoever with this club. Everyone's trying to chase them. And to your point, too, it is getting tight in that division between Dallas and Winnipeg. Dallas is just slowly, again, we talk about this every week, they're just quietly going about their business. But yeah, Winnipeg's been the measuring stick. They've been the top team in the entire league
all
season long.
They have 51 regulation wins.
It's crazy. No, it's crazy.
51. Nobody else. Capitals don't have 51 regulation wins. And still we're going, or, you know, are you measuring your value by playing Colorado or Dallas or the Kings? Anyways, it's pretty hilarious, but they better win in the postseason or this is going to be an incredible, a really, really big disappointment. Yeah.
And again, they lost last year in the first round. It was 4-1, I believe, to Colorado. So they were out in that first round after a pretty good season as well. The St. Louis Blues, this team, Vic, just does not seem to want to lose. They're not losing. They can't lose. And because of them, really, thanks to that separation, we really don't have much of a race now in the wild card when it comes to that second spot and first spot, even in the Western Conference. We'll get into that, though, in a second. But they just can't lose. They've won 10 in a row. And it's regardless of what it is, Jim Montgomery, we had Alexa Dad on recently, and she was like, look, a lot of this has to do with Jim Montgomery. And yes, a lot of it has to do. The Four Nations break came when at a great time. Binnington doing what he's doing out of the Four Nations. Still this this stretch for the St. Louis Blues. Man, this story is amazing.
It is. It's 10 in a row, as you just mentioned. Yeah. It was a tight one last night. They actually pulled it a little bit out of the fire. But the point is, that's what good teams do. Right. They still find a way when they probably offensively didn't have their best game. Well, they didn't and still managed to come away with the W. I think that speaks volumes. Again, I will say this. Okay. Twofold. I'm a little annoyed with them because they are making the Western Conference race boring.
Of course you are.
Right. I was still hoping for some sort of battle down to the line between the Calgary Flames and the Vancouver Canucks, maybe Utah for that second wild card spot. And now they've actually vaulted the Minnesota Wild, at least for a minute anyway. And there's now this gap of separation that we don't see at all in the East. So it's becoming a little bit, hey, we still have a couple weeks left. Stuff could still happen. What I want to see now from the Blues, I want to see them lose a game and I want to see how they respond. That to me, it's very easy to keep on winning. But when you get a setback, I want to see how this team rallies after taking the L and going forward and how they rebound. And so they don't spiral, because it's hot when you're riding this high, Ryan, and you drop, you got to pick yourself back up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And the postseason is approaching very quickly. So that's what I'm looking for.
And word is, too, that part of the reason why they've been playing so well is, remember the movie Major League all those years ago? It was
absolutely, I do.
Greatest of all time. Bob Uecker was in it. Charlie Sheen was in it. And there was a guy named who played the role of Pedro Serrano. He was in the movie and he had this little doll that he had carried with him, and it was Joe Boo. So word is that the Blues have had this thing, a replica of it, since the Four Nations break.
It's a bobblehead replica.
So, I mean, I think it's kind of cool. Hey, whatever works, but you're right. It's a great point with whatever, whenever they do lose, because this, I mean, I was just supposed to say, they're going to lose at some point, but who's to say they're not going to run the gauntlet all the way to the end of the season? Who knows?
They're going to lose the game.
I know. So whenever they do lose, great point about, okay, we lost, let's rebound, and let's try to get back on the on track as we head into the postseason. Really cool, too. We'll talk about Ryan Leonard in a second. He made his debut last night for Washington. But another great prospect who is just, I think, going to be a tremendous player, Jimmy Snuggerud.
People are excited.
He played 10:43, a minus one, no big deal. Didn't factor in the scoring. Kyrou scored in the final 30. Fowler scored an OT. But from what everyone says, even after that first 10 minutes, 43 seconds, everyone says the 20-year-old belongs in the NHL. And I think he does, too.
So we'll see next year when he gets, you know, full track.
Yeah.
It's always this time of year when this starts to happen. It's like, right, here comes the college kids.
Right?
College kids are ready to go.
Yeah.
Because it is the opportunity when their collegiate season ends. Obviously, they can sign their entry-level deal and then they can come up and play. So it's. I think his future looks very, very bright as well.
The future is not just bright for Leon Draisaitl. The past has been bright. The present's bright. Every single thing is bright with this guy. And he's, you know, with McDavid been sidelined and Draisaitl back. And we know the injuries they have in Edmonton with Stuart Skinner, Frederick as well, and Evander Kane. The infirmary is pretty big. Leon Draisaitl, and I'm probably in the minority with this, I believe he's still underappreciated for what this guy can do for Edmonton and also in the NHL. They have a huge win last night. You want to talk about a measuring stick win or a statement win against a Vegas Golden Knights team?
That's more accurate, yes.
Yeah, right? So they win last night. Leon with his 52nd goal of the season. He is doing and this is a guy, too. He scored two, right, in the game he came back after being out a few games due to injury.
Two goals on 10 shots.
I mean, what's going on? It is unreal. Yes, McDavid is so crucial to the success of that team. But Leon, Vic, he's right up there at the same point for me.
Yes, he is. That's why he's going to win the Hart Trophy this year. The difference in that team when he's on the ice and when he's off.
Yeah.
If you want any other proof, you don't have to look back at any other month in the season. Just look back at the last two games for the Edmonton Oilers. Mm-hmm. How different the results were. How different they looked on the ice. And this is one singular player. I know he plays a lot of minutes, Ryan, but he's not on there for all 60.
No, I know.
So just as an actual difference maker, and that was a big goal last night during that game as
huge.
Well. So he's not only leading comfortably with 52 goals in the NHL right now, despite missing a little bit of time, it's the clutchness. I know there's never really a proper word for that, but he's so incredibly clutch.
Well, there is timely. When it comes to your dictionary and thesaurus of words.
Whatever so. I like up.
Whatever you like, it's in there.
When you need a big time moment, he's a big time moment guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything that defines MVP. No. When you consistently produce as well, more than that. And he's one of the reasons that, again, we might be talking about the Oilers vaulting the Kings for second spot and that all-important home ice advantage.
Yeah, they both have played 74 games. They have 8 games left to go right now. Edmonton is 2 points back. And again, yeah, home ice advantage. And unless Vegas completely goes in the you-know-what, it's going to be the Kings.
They ain't going to.
No, they're not.
Vegas ain't going anywhere you-know-what.
No, they're not. So Dallas, they've won 6 in a row, 7-1-2 in their last 10 games. They have a game in hand on Winnipeg, Vic. So going back to that Central quickly. About can Dallas actually track Winnipeg down? They possibly can't because those are two points the Jets do not have on the schedule that Dallas does have with that game in hand. Anyway, Dallas rolling. Vegas, despite the loss last night, 7-2-1 in their last 10, they're rolling. No one's surprised at this at all because all Vegas has done since they've come into the league is win. In Dallas, you and I talked about this. It seems on a weekly basis, they just quietly go about their business. You talk Winnipeg, you talk Edmonton, you talk who's going to get the WC2 and the one in the West. What about the Eastern? What about the Atlantic Division? Hey, what about Dallas? Well, what about them? They're one of the best teams in the league.
They are one of the best teams in the league. It's Mikko Rantanen is contributing. Everybody is, once again, I feel like such a broken record here.
Because I know.
I've been saying this all season. I think I said it all season last year, too. It's
I
just contributions from down the lineup.
Yeah.
And when somebody isn't producing, somebody else like Mason Marchment does. Mm-hmm. Somebody else rises to the – Granlund all of a sudden starts contributing again. Mm-hmm. And then you still have the stars on that team. Thomas Harley has been a revelation. Ryan, they're doing this without their best defenseman. Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah.
So now they're going to get, never mind their best defenseman, a top five defender in the league.
Sure.
They're going to hopefully have him back in the first round. If not, you better hope that they advance. He should be back for the second.
Mm-hmm.
But Ottinger's playing well. It's just, Casey DeSmith is great when he needs to sub in. It just, there are no flaws. And when we interview a lot of different guests on this show, and sometimes we have the question who's for in our 77 seconds segment, who's going to win the cup? We actually do have it again today. How many have we had more Dallases? We've had different answers.
And I think actually you may have said one of the recent times that we did something, you said right away, everyone says that after the individual who we had on did say Dallas. Yeah.
They did say Dallas. We've had more stars. I believe, I don't have a count, but I believe we have more stars than anything else. How many Jets have we had? So what does that say again?
Yeah. No, I know.
Zero.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Zero people have picked the Jets, the best team in the West, neck and neck with Washington all together in the league, and not one person has picked them, but it's been Dallas, 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 other teams too, but Dallas over and over again.
And do you want to know the reason is because all we have is stars on this show. That's
right.
All we have.
Okay. Right? Now you're done. You're cut off. Okay.
This is only the first segment. You just wait. You just wait. Hey, I was actually looking when you were talking. No, I'm not. Quiet. I was actually looking. So they won six in a row, but the other three games that they traded wins and losses. So the one against Colorado on March 16th, they lost in overtime. They beat the Ducks in overtime. Then they lost in a shootout to Tampa. So essentially, this team could be on a nine-game run right now because they lost in the shootout and they lost in OT. Anyway, I'm just saying.
I still think they're due for a two or three game dip in terms of not winning.
Right.
Had a hard time spitting that one out.
Yeah.
I still think that we're anticipating that before the postseason. That's why I don't think that they're going to catch Winnipeg, because I think Winnipeg after this loss is going to be on the upswing once more, and it's going to come right down to the line. But the fact they're making it interesting speaks volumes.
Just quickly, the three stars of the month have come and gone. Third star, Jordan Binnington, the Blues, no surprise. John Tavares, second star. How about that contract, John? That's pretty. That's rising as every game goes on. Quick shout out, though, to Jack Eichel. I remember when Jack made the postseason for the first time ever, which is bizarre to say, but when you're in Buffalo for so long, it didn't work. When he made it in for Vegas, it was awesome. See, he's one of my favorite players in the league. He was the first star, 23 points in 14 games. In the month of March, which
is
so impressive. He's like a ballet dancer on the ice. He never looks like he's doing anything. He's so smooth. Look at his stick too. I don't know, I said this to you a number of times over the course of the show that Draisaitl's blade, I don't know if you ever looked at that yet, but something's up with the blade. It's not saying that that's the reason why he has 52 goals, but he's good. But there's something with that. And then the stick of Eichel is longer. Usually I think measure, at least when I played hockey, when you measure with the stick, you get on the skates and it kind of comes to your chin. About the chin or just below. I would say that it's more, but whatever it is, it's working. Point is, hats off to Jack. The Calgary Flames are pretty much snuffed out, Vic. They're done.
Yeah.
You okay?
You
all right?
Yeah. Well, it just comes back to, I didn't necessarily need them. People will still mistake me for a Flames fan, but just ever since their cup run with Ginla, and this is, it feels like 1,000 years ago now, but I rooted for them quietly. I really like Calgary fans. I just like the community anyway.
Yeah.
Never been there, by the way. So.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Never like been, but I love the community.
My impressions of the town. Anywho, the fact that loss to Utah was just so large. They just needed to keep pace. And when you're chasing a team like the Blues, when the Wild are already so established. So I'm bummed on behalf of the Flames that they're not going to make it interesting. I think that would have been kind of cool. Maybe they still will, but it just doesn't appear that way right now. But also getting back to what the Blues are doing, it's a little bit more boring. Down the stretch, you're not going to be watching those same games in the final week that you're probably going to be watching in the East. Hey, they're still shuffling.
I mean, I know.
Who finishes where, but in terms of teams making the playoffs, we're now starting. They really needed that win against Utah, and I really think they could have had it. I watched a lot of that game, but unfortunately, no.
If they have any sniff of staying in this thing again till the final week of the season and the last few games, they have two games in hand on the Blues. They have one game in hand. You have to win those games. So whenever those teams are off and you're playing,
it's going to be tough.
Yeah, very tough. Very tough. The West seems to be somewhat sorted. Right now, if the playoffs began tonight, it would be Winnipeg against Minnesota. That would be intriguing. Vegas against the Blues. That would be intriguing. Dallas and Colorado. Nothing intriguing about that matchup. And the Kings and the Oilers, they would open up in
again,
LA. Anyway, yeah.
Pretty
again.
Entertaining stuff.
Oh, can't wait.
The West in particular, I mean, we're going to get to the East in a second. There's a couple of matchups in the East that are a little bit more ho-hum on paper right now, but there isn't anything boring in the West, not as it presents itself right now.
No, there's nothing. Quickly, a couple more things. We'll do the lock of the night in a second. The Vezina pick, we're going to go through this too. We're going to go through different awards and our picks as we head down the stretch here by the time the season's done. And then the postseason begins April 19th, we believe. It's Connor Hellebuck's to lose.
It's Connor Hellebuck. We don't need to waste any more time. That's a formality.
You want to go into the other
bookies
nominees.
Aren't even taking wagers on it anymore for the most part. And or the odds are so outrageous. You have to wager a million to win a buck type of thing.
Right.
So it's so that just, again, that tells you that paints a pretty good picture of who's going to win the Vezina. Who are your other two?
Jake Oettinger absolutely has to be up there in the discussion. You see, if Anthony Stolarz was playing more, I maybe have him up there as well. I'm trying to think of some Eastern Conference teams. Of course, you got Bobrovsky in there and Vasilevsky. Logan Thompson has to be in the discussion. So I would say, based on the top three, it would be Ottinger, Thompson, and Hellebuck. But Hellebuck certainly is going to win this thing.
So you're completely incorrect once more.
Okay.
Hellebuck. Well, you're not wrong about Hellebuck. It's Hellebuck, and then Vasilevsky, and then Filip Gustavsson.
Really?
The Minnesota Wild aren't anywhere close to where they would be without Filip Gustavsson. And Vasilevsky, again, I think he's just boring us a little bit because he's just...
Every year, same thing.
And if you look at his numbers, his personal numbers, and his his wins record, he's second. He's second to Hellebuck. Yeah. So those are my top three. So Ottinger comes into play. Logan Thompson was up there if he had played more games. He's also stumbled down the stretch a little bit and looked a little bit more human in the last 6 weeks or so. So I think that's going to hurt his case. So, all right, on record, you've got Ottinger. Who is your second guy?
Thompson, Ottinger, and Hellebuck.
Okay. All right.
Last one before we do the lock of the night. The last two seasons, Hellebuck has only had 30 regulation losses in 118 games. That's it. 80 wins. We haven't had a repeat winner back-to-back of the Vezina since Marty Brodeur did it, 06, 07, 07, 08. So no repeat in the last, 16 years.
And he was pretty good, that Brodeur.
Yeah, not bad.
He's all right.
Okay, lock of the night. Let's go. Vic loves to do this because it's real simple for her. So what's the lock of the night?
Well, this is our Western team lock of the night, not our league-wide lock of the night. And we it's slim pickings tonight. I'm still going to point out. I'm still going to point out that I'm perfect. My record is perfect since we started doing this. So I'm going to, because it's going to end, Ryan. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm milking it.
No, you're like the Blues. You're going to ride this thing out. You are.
The Minnesota Wild beat the Rangers.
Oh, poor New York, honestly. Okay, I was going to go with that, but I'm going to go something different. I will do the Kraken beating Vancouver in the Canuckville, if you will. We'll take a break. That's the West. We'll go East. Don't forget to Brent Wallace, co-host Coming in Hot Sens podcast. He'll join us too. We'll talk about the Sens, but we'll go East. After this, Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Mattiash will be there.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Mattiash.
All right, from the West to the East, welcome back. Ryan Payton, Victoria Mattiash, Brent Wallace will join us in just a bit. A co-host of the Coming in Hot Sens podcast with Jason York. We'll talk Sens. And we'll go 77 seconds in with Brent as well. Always a great segment, not just for us, but also for the guests we have after they get by the fear of my email. By the way, I text them just a tiny bit because Alexa said last time, remember, she was terrified when I sent her all the details about this thing. I just texted Brent a time and said, hey, 7 questions in this amount of time. Take as much time as you need. Didn't get a response. So I'm doing better. Anyway, we'll talk Patrick Waugh, Anthony DeClaire, lock of the night too. Vic's going to a nice matchup tonight too in Toronto between the Leafs and the Florida Panthers. Let's begin though with Ovi again. You've got the circle date, April 12th in Columbus for that day that Ovi's going to get past Gretzky with the record, but we shall see. 4 short now after yet another goal last night.
Scored against Boston.
Yep.
And he scored rather early too.
You and I could score against Boston. Okay. Anyway, topic for another day.
You know what? The Capitals barely won that game. A little bit credit to the Bruins on this, on this particular night. And Ovi scored early, too. So I was wondering, are the floodgates going to open here? Are we going to get a pair or even a hat trick? He just scored the single. He just scored one. And now he's 4 short of breaking the record, 3 to tie. Yep. And between now and my game...
Because
now this is the scope through which we are watching this race. I don't think there's going to be much of an issue that he's going to get it done this regular season unless he falls hurt. So April the 12th, the matinee in Columbus, I will be attending if he is within striking distance and has not already broken the record. Otherwise, I'm not going. So between now and then, 4 games. We have 3 this week. 2 are against the Carolina Hurricanes. So, you know, but the other 2 are against the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yep.
And the Islanders. Islanders don't necessarily hemorrhage a lot of goals. They lose games, but we'll see what happens there. But the fact that he could score a hat trick against Chicago probably in his sleep is a little bit of a concern. So we shall we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. He's going to get it done. Let's get it done, Ovi, please, so we can put this thing to bed. Ryan Leonard, we talked about Snuggerud with the Blues. Leonard made his debut last
night. Boston College kid.
Love this guy. And I love, again, how the tradition is. You give the kid a lap or two to get out. I saw in the pregame as he was outside the dressing room before going down, he was standing beside Ovechkin. Here is this kid beside the greatest goal scorer in the history of the game, pure goal scorer in the history of the game. And then he goes out by himself, and then the rest of the Caps watch, and they let him do this, they let him do that. I was actually reading something. He said he went out with Alex Ovechkin the night before in Boston.
They had sushi.
And Leonard said, among many things, Ovi wanted to see where I went to school. That's what he said. So kind of cool.
It was very, very cool. His college teammates, a bunch of them were there for the game as well. So a whole bunch of support. Yeah, you're pooping your pants for this stuff, especially when you're standing and you're playing with the greats. And for everybody to go out of their way to make him feel comfortable is pretty special.
Eastern Conference race, the Montreal Canadiens, they're still in this thing. I am a huge fan.
They're hanging in.
I know. I'm a huge fan of any Original Six team. Give me more of the Original Six. Give me more of them in spring hockey. I just love it. I love it. I love it. So hopefully they get in. We'll see a little bit of track to go. But as you said, Vic, they're hanging in right now.
And a big win last night against Florida.
Big win.
An unanticipated win against Florida, I'm going to say as well, because they had just beat them as well. And you usually don't get to do it twice.
No.
So I just, a little bit of love for Nick Suzuki, who has just been an absolute beast. That top line has. But Nick Suzuki, captain of this team, has absolutely dragged them into this position. All the come from behind wins that they've enjoyed, he has pretty much orchestrated time and time and time again. His numbers have been outstanding. There was discussion not long ago about he was not a legitimate top center in this league.
He was a pretty good
second line center.
Yeah.
You're still not putting him up there with the McKinnons and the McDavids and the Austin Matthews, but he's a legitimate top center in this league. Mm-hmm. We can put that to bed. One other really cute fact. This is adorable.
The dictionary is on fire today. Carry on. This is a cute fact. Okay, let's go.
Cute fact. Yeah. Do you know he hasn't missed a game since coming into the NHL?
That's amazing.
He hasn't missed a regular season game. I think he's in his sixth season right now. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It's fifth or sixth. So we're not talking 15 years or anything. But to not miss a game through the pandemic and those shortened seasons, even the rest of the time, he's an Iron Man. And he's out there all the time. So tip of the cap.
You keep that engine finely tuned like a Suzuki, right? And this thing can go on and on and on and on and on. Get your hand out of your eyes. Okay, so, and they have Boston coming up tomorrow. Winnable game. The Flyers on the weekend. Winnable game. Nashville on the weekend. Winnable game. So we could get six more points. We shall see. You and I talked about this yesterday off air and off camera and stuff.
In your living room.
In the living room. Exactly. We had a real intimate moment when we talked about this discussion. So Nico Mikkola the other night in game one of that first, you know, the home and home against the Montreal Canadiens. Time was winding down in the game. It was 4-2, I believe.
Panthers
defenseman. And so he was coming out of his own zone. Time was like done. Nobody was playing at all. It was like, hey, let's get the horn going. We're going to go home. That's it. He winds up, takes a slap shot. David Savard is toward the other end of the rink. And he sees the puck coming toward him. And he ducks out of the way. It was kind of on a curve. Now, Mikkola, certainly, I do not believe, was trying to hurt anybody. But that is something you do not do. You don't do it. I don't care what you do. Because that... it could have caused serious damage to, I don't know, anybody, not just on Montreal, but Florida, whoever. You just don't do that stuff. We see it, not a lot, but when we do, it gets me boiling.
It's like the same reason you don't whip a baseball bat if you get struck out of frustration.
Right,
You have to, you have to be responsible for your actions. I do get the frustration. I'm not running Mikkola out of town for this, because you can just understand he just lost it a little bit. And it didn't look like he was targeting anybody at all. It just, he fired it. If you want to do that, make sure you just fire it into the boards and there isn't anybody in your way whatsoever. Because we see golfers whipping their clubs around all the time.
Absolutely.
This behavior is not unusual. You get very, very frustrated, but you're not wrong. You're in control of yourself. You're in control of your equipment. He had the puck on his stick. Can you imagine with everything that David Savard has been through, even just this season, injury-wise, if he took that off the noggin and he was out for the rest of the regular season and then through the postseason, one of the most important defenders. Also, it just sucks in general for him.
Let me just throw this at you. Say Savard had his back turned toward the Panthers' end. And say he was going back. I think Montembeau started that game. So say he was going back to the Montreal goalie. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, he didn't see it. People can say, hey, watch it. But I mean,
sure.
It's something you just don't do. I don't care how frustrated you are.
But
you just don't do it.
So on the bright side, everybody's okay.
I know, which is great.
Purely entertaining fashion. Again, yeah. When the Canadians hosted the Florida Panthers at the Bell Center last night, guess who was public enemy number one?
Oh, yeah.
I never had on my bingo card.
No, me neither.
Nikola to get booed every time he touched the puck at the Bell Center, right? So now Nico Mikola is not a fan favorite amongst the Montreal faithful, which I found very entertaining. They are a passionate bunch, that fan.
Oh, they are. Yeah, no, they are. And how many people, we talked about Dallas and different people we've had on saying who's going to win the cup, and most say Dallas. How many people have we had on that say, hey, where's the best arena that you've been to? Boom, Montreal.
It's either down. MSG.
MSG
is up there, but the Bell Center, especially a lot of American reporters, I think they just enjoy the different pace of Montreal altogether.
That Atlantic Division race, Toronto, Tampa, Florida.
It is fun.
They've all played 74 games. Yeah, 8 games left to go, each of them. Toronto, 94 points. Tampa, 93 points. Florida, 92 points. The team struggling more than those, out of those three, the most. Florida, 4 wins in their last 10. Big game tonight. You're going there this evening.
So downtown Toronto, Maple Leafs are hosting the Florida Panthers after they coming off that frustrating loss in Montreal. And the Florida Panthers want to finish top of that division just as much as the Lightning, just as much as the Leafs. So this is going to be a big tilt. I don't know who to give the advantage to. You'd never really necessarily want to side with a team that's on the second of a back-to-back. But,
and also Toronto's been off since Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
Which can be a good thing or a bad thing.
Right. And the Panthers are ticked. You know that they're just, you know what? We want to end this thing on a good note. And so they're going to go all out tonight. This is a game, if Matthew Tkachuk was healthy, this is a game that he'd go into thinking, I'm going to take over this whole game and give my limbs, give my foot or give my leg, give whatever it takes to try to get these 2 points. Because this is huge.
I think we're going to see a lot from Brad Marchand just for those very same reasons, because he hasn't done anything truly spectacular since he made his debut with the Panthers squad.
Loves to play Toronto. Loves to play Toronto.
And just bringing a different flavor. So this is much, if I was at home, it's my first Leafs game in person this season. If I was at home, this would be must watch from puck drop until the very end, unless it's a blowout. I do think we can anticipate a little bit of nastiness. I don't know in what form, but I think this is going to be a feisty one, and I hope everybody behaves themselves.
We'll see. Just don't take a puck and fire it down the ice when time is winding
down. I love
down.
How much that this stuff bothers you. I really do. I'm not being facetious.
No, I know.
You hate bad manners so much, and it was rude. More than anything else, it was rude.
Okay, I'm trying to talk. Stop interrupting me. That's rude. I'm kidding. So the Eastern Conference wildcard. So number one, unless Ottawa goes completely in the tank, again, they're pretty much solidified. There's time to go, but still 84 points. But then again, that second spot, Montreal 79, the Jackets 2 points back, the Rangers 2 points back, Detroit 4 points back, the Isles 5 points back. So right now you basically have the three teams, the other bit of separation, Montreal, Columbus, and New York. The Jackets, they have a game in hand, 2 points on not just the Rangers, but also on Montreal. 3 wins in their last 10. That's not going to get it done. But the fact is, again, Vic, and we've talked about this for a couple of weeks now, maybe we'll do it until the end of the season. Nobody seems to really want to take that WC2 position by its head and go with it.
No, not yet, but a big win over the Predators last night. Big win.
It's Nashville. Okay. That's not a big. Okay. For points wise,
But they scored 8 goals, Ryan. So
that's
to
get
a hat trick from Marchenko, who's been quiet, to have Sean Monahan score a pair since he missed some time being injured. I mean, he's been back for a little bit, but that's a statement showing as well. Just to see the big guys come out and score. Yes, I know who it's against. I understand that.
But this is the type of
result that gets you back on track. And I will say Columbus is not dead yet. Between Montreal and Columbus, you know the Rangers are just going to sneak in there at the end and annoy everyone. But
no, they're not.
We'll see. Ever since I said I was off the Rangers wagon, they came back a little bit.
Don't you dare get back on that wagon.
I'm not going to. I'm just saying they're not dead. So let's just
I know you. You're thinking about it. The wheels are I can see it. You're thinking about getting. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Carry on.
They're sitting right there, Ryan. They're sitting right there.
Matter. But don't get on the bandwagon. You were off of it. Don't get back on. That's not
it. I'm rooting for them. I just predicted for so long.
I know. The Islanders and Patrick Waugh and Anthony Duclair. So they lost 4-1 to the Lightning. They're 5 points back. And Patrick Waugh said of the effort or lack thereof of Anthony Duclair, quote, he was god awful. He was god awful. He had a bad game. That's why I didn't play him a lot. He's lucky to be in the lineup. Sorry if I lose it on him right now, but that is how I feel.
And then accused of him being lazy.
Right.
So, Patrick.
It's not been a good season. It's not been a good season for Duclair. It's not been a good season for Waugh. No.
Does it not feel like I'm a fan of this player as well? So maybe my bias is going to show a little bit here. Does it not feel like the Islanders is an organization where good players go to suck?
It's that is a debate certainly that one can have, and I would probably side
outside
with you on
of,
that, yes.
Outside of the net, because Sorokin is still Sorokin. But you've had other players who have accomplished more elsewhere, and then they go there, and then all of a sudden. Now, I'm not saying that Duclair isn't not putting in his best effort. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's something to what Patrick was saying. I also think, hey, I know they've lost four straight. They're still within striking distance of a playoff spot. They still have to play out these last 2 weeks with a hope. A lot of other teams would love to have a hope right now. Patrick Waugh better know what he's doing right now and handling this player, because he needs something out of Anthony Duclair. And Ryan, we both know these guys go two ways. You come out and you call them out in the media and they respond in positive fashion, or they don't.
No,
so
I know.
He better understand the way that Duclair works, because really, he needs to win hockey games right now and give his club a chance. And I'm talking about the head coach. I'm not talking about Anthony Duclair.
I will say this, and the numbers by Duclair, they have significantly declined. So in 21, I know he's dealt with some injuries and different things like that. 21-22, he had 31 goals. And then in 22-23, in only 20 games, he had two. In 56 games with San Jose in 23-24, then 17 with Tampa, that's a combined 73 games, he had 24 goals. Mm-hmm. And then he had 7 goals this season in 44. I'm also going to throw a little bit of a different take on this. I think Patrick Waugh is not a great coach when it comes to the NHL. I think he's a good coach in other leagues. I don't think this is a league that suits him. I really don't. I'm not saying not call out Duclair, not saying that at all, because you call out the players and that's what you need to do. Something about him and John Tortorella kind of get me a little bit, whatever. So topic for another day, maybe next week. Last one, lock of the night in that Eastern Conference. Who do you have?
Well, again, we have limited pickings to choose from. So I'm sadly, where I live, going to go with the Florida Panthers in this one.
You are.
It's what I think is going to happen, not what I want to be. I'm very happy with my perfect record dying on a Leafs win tonight. Perfectly content.
Okay, I'm going to go the reverse then. I'm going to go Toronto. Again, it could be a good thing or a bad thing. The Leafs have had a couple of days off. I think they're playing well, so I'm going to go with them. And Craig Berube said, too, I think the rest has done them well, because he said after the last game when they did, when he said we were gassed.
Right.
Yes, totally get it. It's a long, grueling trip. It doesn't matter what position you are in any league. It's tough on the body.
I also love the fact that the only other Eastern Conference game is Capitals Hurricanes, and you and I both don't want to touch that with a 10-foot
ball. Not a chance. You kidding? No way. I will say this. My lock of the night is either the Caps or Canes will win. So one of those two teams is going to come out on top tonight.
Fantastic.
Easy. Brent Wallace is next, co-host of Coming in Hot Sens podcast with Jason York. We'll talk Sens, and I go 77 seconds in with Brent as well. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Maddiash, Brent Wallace coming.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Maddiash.
Well, that Eastern Conference playoff picture is becoming more clear. I don't know if it is, especially in that wild card spot number two. In wild card number one, the Sens currently hold that position, and barring a huge collapse, this team is going to make it into the playoffs. Let's hope that they do, especially for Ottawa fans. Brent Wall is joining us here on the program, Coming in Hot Sens podcast co-host with Jason York. Brent, always good to chat with anybody who's covering a team like yourself, and Ottawa's in a pretty decent position as of right now.
Yeah, although after the loss last night to Buffalo, there is concern among the fans in the nation's capital of whether or not it's time to hit the panic button.
Right.
So I think they're comfortably there with a 5-point lead and 8 games to go and 7 of 8 at home. But there is some uneasiness with the way they're playing of late.
I mean, it's just been against Buffalo so far this season, though, that we've just seen that consistent, you know.
Montreal.
More, okay.
Right.
They haven't beaten Montreal all year. So, and they do have one more game against the Habs left. However, that being said, there's always, like, Montreal has beaten Florida every time this year.
Right.
Yes.
There is those games. And, okay, sure, if they'd beaten arguably the worst team in the Eastern Conference two more times, mm-hmm. they'd be up more points. Yeah, but we all know how the season goes. It's 82 games. It's a long time. So people that are excited over the fact they've lost to Buffalo, it's just one of those things to me. Really, it's not that big a deal.
I think it's more something to talk about. And I will also apologize for Ryan's jinxiest introduction I think I've heard in a long time. What? Barring some epic collapse, they will secure the second wild card spot.
Did I say collapse? My apologies.
Yes, you did. You actually used the C word.
I don't know.
I think it's fair.
Okay, thank you.
I think it's,
why are we throwing it out to the universe?
because we love to get panicked.
Yes.
We love the right the fear of, like, oh my God, this could happen.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I just looked it up, over since February the 1st, Ottawa and Montreal are the two top wildcard teams, if you will, the group that's in that chase, record-wise. Everybody else is struggling to put up points, to get wins.
Yeah.
So no one's really decided they were going to take the bull by the horns and make a run. And so I don't think that run's going to happen. If it hasn't happened in the first 70 games, I don't think it's happening now.
Okay.
If I go back to preseason and camp and before the season began in October and then shuffle off to today, April 2nd, is this kind of how you looked at the season for the Sens to go? Did you think they'd be in this position fighting for a spot at this time?
You just hoped, right?
Yeah.
After 7 years, you're like, just hope that you could even be ninth in the league or in the Eastern Conference. We just be around it.
Yeah.
So there are obviously people who think this team should be third in the Atlantic, which when you've got Florida, Toronto, and Tampa, that's not realistic. So for them to be sitting in this spot, April 2nd, I think it's a perfect scenario for them. It's everything you would hope they would be, fighting for a wild card spot or at least a playoff spot. It's exactly what they are. So the fact they've now lost in overtime to Pittsburgh and lost last night in the last two, it shouldn't really be that big a concern, but for some reason, people are very jittery right now with this playoff spot.
Let's stick to the positive. Why? What has gone right this season? Which players have produced? Why the success? Yeah. Why are they not 20 games out of a playoff spot?
So first, I think Travis Green deserves a lot of credit for just coming in and changing the mindset, changing the way they play. He's now made them, they play defense. I think that's a big part.
Right.
The way that they are now, top 12 in the league, I think, in goals against average. They've added a Vezina Trophy winner. That helps, right? You always say, show me a good coach, I'll show you a very good goaltender.
Yeah.
And that's usually the case. So they've got goaltending, which helps. They've got a defensive structure. And the changes they've made to the lineup of bringing in Stanley Cup winners and Michael Amadio, David Perron, Nick Cousins, who's been out for a while, but his presence is still there. Nick Jensen, who is a solid defender and changed the way the back end is played a bit.
Mm-hmm.
All those additions, and now Dylan Cousins, who's come in and he's gotten points in 10 of 12 or 11 of 13, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They have just had impact throughout the lineup. And that's what has really been the biggest driver.
Brady Tkachuk, very emotional on the trade deadline day when that did happen, when Cousins came in. He's injured. The level of concern for you, the team, the fan base with the injury right now, where's that at, Brent?
So, Ryan, this is a great question because he's been injured since Four Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been the debate in Ottawa whether or not he should be getting rest and whether he should be taken out of the lineup. But you take Brady Tkachuk out of the lineup and it's a different team, drastically different team. And so the debate has been, well, you got to rest him to get him healthy. And my argument has been, he plays, if he can, until they clinch a playoff spot. Then you worry about the other stuff after.
Okay.
But they need him in the lineup. I think this is the fourth game he's missed in 2 years. If I'm not mistaken, they've lost them all.
Mm.
It's just his presence makes them play bigger.
Yeah.
He's obviously their leading goal scorer. And so the way Brady Tkachuk plays is the way this team will play. And so he drags him into battle every night. I can't understate how important he is to this lineup.
Yeah.
And so he needs to get healthy, but they got to clinch a playoff spot first.
Right. Yeah. That's a big thing.
We've been hearing that this might be a fresh injury that was sustained against Pittsburgh over the weekend, yeah, and not necessarily whatever's been nagging him. Does it sound at all serious, or is it this a day-to-day situation for real?
So fair enough, because Travis Green alluded to the hit that he had with Ryan Graves in the mm-hmm. Pittsburgh game in the second period was what kept him out of last night with an upper body injury, which is fair. I'm not sure how serious it was. It was for those who didn't see it, it was basically a center ice collision that neither guy saw the other guy coming. So I could see them keeping him out for that, but he's been battling a hip injury. And they did recall okay. Angus Cruikshank before that Pittsburgh game mm-hmm. because there was belief that Brady may not play in that game as well. So I still believe, I'll call it a hip, lower body, something is still impacting his game.
Oh boy.
And it is a concern. I don't know what it's going to take to get healthy, and maybe it won't with such little time remaining in the season, but they got to figure out a way to hopefully try to get him 90%.
Right.
You see Timmy Stützle on a regular basis. I'm a huge fan of his, and I've been a fan of his ever since he came into the game. Describe the game from your vantage point, what he brings to the team, what he brings to the ice as well, because I love watching this guy play.
So we've had this discussion is I think he's one of the top five. And I know I cover the Senators, and so I seem somewhat biased, but I will tell you, I think he's one of the top five players I would pay to watch play in the National Hockey League.
Really?
That's lofty.
Kale McCarr, I would go yep. on. Quinn Hughes.
That's lofty praise. The way they just That's lofty the game, praise.
Right? Yeah. But the way he plays the game is so unpredictable.
Yeah.
And without fear, it is entertaining to watch. Does he score 100 goals? No. And he's down this year. I think he's at 21 or whatever. He had mm-hmm. 39 2 years ago. Yeah. But the way I just find him completely unpredictable and exciting to me. So I think he's now starting to finally maybe get some attention. He is a number one center, and I think he is arguably the most competitive player on the team.
Mm.
He will this team eventually. I mean, he's 23 years old.
Yeah.
He is an outstanding young talent in the National Hockey League.
Listening to you call him the most competitive player on the team, on a team that also includes Brady Tkachuk, that is a very,
and Claude Giroux.
Right, yeah, right. That's very high praise. Outside of the stars that we do give attention to, who's a player on the Senators squad that we just don't talk enough about? Somebody who is underrated outside of Ottawa in particular.
Outside? Oh, so I think
or in
Drake
general,
Batherson,
just altogether, who is underrated?
So I think Drake Batherson may have the best hands on the team, at least offensively. He can make plays, and he's got a good frame size, 6'3", when he wants to use it. And with Dylan Cousins coming over, he has picked up his game physically. Drake Batherson can win you hockey games, and he's on a very friendly budget at under $5 million a year.
Yep.
I think he is the most underrated player on the team because they have Tim Stützle and Brady Tkachuk. And guys, and at the time there was Josh Norris, just guys that were getting more attention. But he's sneakily, I don't believe that's a word.
No, it is. Sneakily is a good, is a word.
Yeah.
Yep.
You should hear some words Victoria uses, Brent. Anything's a
Enough,
word in her mind.
Yeah. But sneakily is a word.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think he's the most underrated player on the team.
Interesting. I actually cover fantasy quite a bit for ESPN as well. And he's been one of my, again, sneaky players that have just kind of flown under the radar that a lot of people don't recognize. And all he does is get you fantasy points week in and week out. So I have appreciation.
He was -5 last night. Mm. So there are some warts to the game.
Yeah.
Because they lost 5-2.
In an off night.
But yeah.
It's
but
an off night.
I think he's an outstanding offensive talent.
If the postseason began tonight, we would have, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Battle of Ontario. A lot of people have been wanting this kind of battle to get more intense because it used to be a very intense one all those years ago, and it's maybe lost a bit of it, at least in some people's minds. I mean, I think based on, again, Tkachuk's injury is a concern and all that, but I would love to see these two teams, Toronto and Ottawa, go at it in a meaningful series again.
So I'm fortunate enough that I covered all of those playoff games.
Oh, lucky
and
you.
So
lucky you.
So, right? And today on the show, we had Radek Bonk on, who played in all those playoff games. Because I wanted to see, like, the Battle of Ontario reignited. It doesn't have the same luster, like Darcy Tucker jumping basically into the Sens bench.
Nope.
And Gary Roberts and Joe Noonan. Yep. All these guys that just seemed to manhandle the Sens, who were by far a superior team.
Yeah.
they just couldn't play in the playoffs. And so that's, and Pat Quinn was out. He was such a media manipulator. It was so fun to watch. And even the media was angry with each other. I loved every second. I didn't appreciate it enough because once you go, like if you're four straight years, you're like, oh, well, this will just keep continuing.
It'll last forever. Yeah. Right.
Yes. And so looking back at it, I'm like, man, was that amazing. And I would love to see it come back. We don't have the same tough guys around, which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
So it'll be a skill type game. But I think the fan energy would be outstanding.
It would be really cool to see that reignited. That's for certain. Yeah. I have very, very, very vivid memories of all that. The in the East altogether, outside of Ottawa, which team frightens you the most? Who are we looking at to just quietly or maybe loudly stomp their way to a Stanley Cup final?
So I'd like to have like an asterisk beside the Montreal Canadiens, because you never know when teams that are fighting and they've played this kind of playoff hockey for the last 2 months and they get into a playoff, you never know what can happen. And I think they could beat the Washington Capitals if they were to play a series today.
But I was not expecting that answer at all. Continue.
But because I watched it with Ottawa once, like they had the pesky Sens, and this kind of reminds me of that team. But Florida, it's always the Florida Panthers. And when you have, A, they've done it before, they know how to win. When you bring Brady, when you bring Matthew Tkachuk back into the lineup, you've got that guy, Brad Marchand, like Sam Bennett, like they've got so many weapons. And Keith Yandel, who's suspended? Aaron Ekblad.
Aaron Ekblad. I was like, Keith Yandel's a little bit of a throwback. Yes.
Yeah.
Aaron Ekblad. Yes.
Yeah. So that's, I think that they're a scary team if they can find and put it together.
Agreed.
Last one with the Sens, and then we'll get into the 77 seconds with you. I know a lot's been made of Arizona, and now that they're in Utah, they have stability with the ownership of the Smiths, and they actually have a home now to be called home for an extended amount of time for the future. What's the new ownership group brought to Ottawa when it comes to stability?
Oh, it's night
and day. A lot of it?
Yeah.
Right?
So... I'll put it to you this way. It reminds me of what an NHL team is supposed to look like.
Interesting.
Okay.
So, I can't, like, we'd never have enough time to go through the 36-hour documentary we would have to produce to tell you the nonsense that happened in Ottawa over the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
But Michael Andlauer came in and completely just changed the mindset and changed the vibe. He made sure he reconnected with the alumni, made sure he reconnected with the business community, made sure he reconnected with the French side, as Ottawa is a border with Gatineau. And so they were isolated forever. No one ever really considered them to be fans, all that stuff. He just has done a lot of things right to make sure the community is involved. And I think that's a big part. Like, even if Ottawa was not in a playoff spot, I think this team would still support what Michael Andlauer's been able to do and still be on board. Only because he's told you what he's going to do. He's shown what he's going to do. There hasn't been any shortcuts. The players will tell you how well they're taken care of. Staff seem happy. There are bumps. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of unrest.
Right.
And that's stability. It's just comforting to know, coming to the rink, it's a real National Hockey League team.
There's a lot to be said about the comfort brought on by commitment and stability, and that applies to life just as much as it applies to any other, anything else.
It's huge.
So I can appreciate that.
All right, let's go to 77 seconds now with Brent. Seven questions, take as much time as you need. As I alluded to you in a text, don't be scared about this. And Vic,
it was supposed to be a quick fire thing, but Ryan also wants to take a more gentle approach. So yes,
it's like the Chris Berman 2 minute drill. It's like seven minutes long.
That's exactly. That is it.
Okay.
We're using that from now on, Ryan. It is exactly. Yeah. It's exactly like the 2 minute drill.
Here we go.
Your favorite arena to visit outside of Ottawa, obviously.
Oh, I really love Detroit's new arena.
Okay.
That one's amazing. I'll go with that.
No worries.
Favorite NHL figure to interview all time that you've interviewed?
So I've been fortunate to be around for 25 years. So like Dominic Hasek was always great to me. And we used to, I'll take a little bit of time here. We used to do on TSN, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and we'd get different athletes to read lines. And I sit down with him, Dom, can you just read me one of these lines? He's like, I don't know anything about this, but, and then he starts to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer too.
Oh, get out.
And I'm like, this is outstanding. This is my all-time favorite memory of trying to do Twas the Night. The other one is Jaromir Jagr, who, for whatever reason, when I did world championships and stuff, we were to always connect, and he was always very good to me. And he's one of the few guys I've ever asked for an autograph from, and it was a picture of the two of us. And he goes, do you have a copy of it? I'd like to keep one. And so Jaromir Jagr would be a top two for me.
It's interesting because those two names have come up as answers to this exact same question from different reporters and hosts around the league. So obviously there's some consistency there.
And Jagr did shame me once.
Oh, he did.
But we'll just move on.
Okay.
He's like, he goes, I'm going to work out. And then he poked me and he's like, you should come too.
Oh dear.
Many years of therapy later, I could joke about it.
Yeah. You feeling okay, Brent? You all right?
Yeah, no, I just need a moment.
I don't know who amongst us are going to measure up to. He's still playing competitive professional hockey. I mean, the guy's a machine. So I don't know if that's an insult to anybody else.
Like, I thought of this the other day. Who would be the best personality ever in the game of hockey? And Brett Hull comes to mind, and there's a few. Maybe Jeff Sanderson, because I mean, back in his day, seemed to be. But I like, Jaromir Jagr would have to be
he would.
Top five.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any questioning that. Number three.
Sorry, I hijacked your 77.
No. Yeah, this is allowed. Who? This one should be quick. Who wins the cup this year?
God, I don't know. I picked Dallas at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
I still feel, but like, how do you like the Winnipeg Jets?
Yeah,
man. They look like a fool. But I've covered Ottawa, who was a President's Trophy winner, and you're like, man, this is the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a collapse. So there's always that collapse. Washington doesn't scare me.
Okay.
But I think it's Winnipeg or Dallas to me. And I'll throw in Florida. But that didn't help your answer. So I started with the Dallas Stars. I will stick with them.
Okay. Easy way to answer that is one of the 16 teams that makes it in is going to win the cup. when are we watching a game at the new arena in Le Breton Flats?
And will we still be alive?
So I was going to start with, I'm not sure you'll be alive. So,
okay.
So the thing in Ottawa is it's different than any other city in Canada is we have the NCC, the National Capital Commission, which is another layer of government. It's the landlord around basically downtown Ottawa run by the federal government. And so it is a miserable group to try and deal with to get something done, which is why the area that Ottawa wants to, the Sens want to build on has been vacant for like 60 years. Mm. So it's at least 5 years. And I think that's a generous 5 years.
Okay.
You still got to build the arena. They haven't secured a deal. I'm going 7 years.
Okay.
So in 2032, Ryan and I are hitting the 401 from Toronto, and we're going to go, all right, I don't mind that.
No, no.
That's
you can't bring your Marner jersey, though.
Is that no?
Okay.
It's signed, too.
Yeah, Vic, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
I actually have some Ottawa stuff back here, but should have probably paid closer attention to that before we had you on.
Is it a goal against? Is that what it is, the Ottawa stuff? Yeah, it's like Matt Sundin, 500th goal.
Right.
Moving on. Where are we eating dinner in Ottawa today that doesn't cost $1 trillion?
So I have a couple, but Fratelli's and Napoli's out in the West End, they're two amazing restaurants that they really cater to NHL players. They take care of them, protect them, and they have amazing food. So I'm taking you to one of those two spots.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark and go, this is Italian food?
Correct.
Okay, just making sure.
If you don't like Italian food.
No, I know. We love it.
Get you a diner somewhere.
I had dinner a couple years ago at Whale's Bone, and that was actually very, very delicious.
See, I don't like
really
oysters.
Nice.
No, you don't.
Oh, well, we also ate other things.
Yeah.
But they're known for their oysters.
Yeah.
And I don't see the point in oysters. Why? Because you don't chew them. You just swallow them and say, it's great.
No, you chew them. If you eat them properly, I really enjoy oysters. If you eat them properly, you do chew them. All right.
I've
so
never known anybody
you?
To chew an oyster.
No, see, I thought if you ate them properly, you're not supposed to chew them. I thought it was.
Then what's the point? Then it's just a blob of snot.
Right,
it doesn't matter.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Interesting.
But you're not doing it right. Okay. You're taking us to Fratelli's, and when you come to Toronto, we're going out for oysters.
Yeah.
Deal.
Is Harbor 60 got oysters?
They do. They do, as a matter of fact. That's a little out of my pay grade, by the way.
I used to, so we'd always stay at the Westin and then walk to the ACC, and I'd walk by it all the time. I'm like, one of these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I was down there the other day, not at the restaurant, but driving by. I'm like, yeah, that looks nice, but maybe
that's
sometime.
Our stories about Harbor 60. We were driving by the other day.
Yeah, driving by. Who's
so better? There's a bunch of players, right? The Sens or whatever. Right. Whenever they go to Toronto, we're like, oh, yeah, we ate at Harbor 60. So now they're retired. Like, you should go to Harbor 60. I'm like, I still don't have your money. Like, I don't understand what you think I made, but it isn't your money.
Right.
Who's better, Brent, at picking games, you or Gertie the dog?
This may be the best question ever, because I got fired from picking and Gertie took over, our family dog. She has got us over 500. We were under 500 by me selecting. So she is, I would, yeah, if my life depended on picking one of the two games, I'm taking Gertie. Yeah.
I did see her almost go for the Predators the other day, and you seem to have an issue with that. So, but
yeah, sometimes she hesitates. And so I'm like, ah, and then I'm like, so, yeah, but luckily, she's been more right than wrong.
Good.
Final one. Where can we get a can of Salty Wally IPA?
Wow, you guys are on top of everything. It's imminently coming out. I have no idea. But it's definitely got to be a sour. It can't be an IPA. You can't be called Salty Wally and have a refreshing taste.
Right.
So.
Right. Bitter Wally. Bitter Wally would work. Yeah. Right. So, who's making it though?
No, it's just a fan who sent them in. We discussed, I forget how we got onto beers in the last show, and somehow a fan made these cans of us. So there is no beer as of yet.
As of yet.
I'm going to keep my eyes on that though. I want to, I want a can of Salty Wally IPA at some point in time.
My
fly off the shelves.
My money will be on that happening first before a new arena in the flats. So let's
there's a better chance.
Let's do that within 7 years.
No question.
Brent, we're out of time. Thanks for this. Appreciate it. Looking forward to doing it again. And let's go Sens to try to get them into the playoffs.
Before the collapse. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.